We have learned in the previous paragraphs of chapter 5 and paragraphs 1 through 4 that there are two distinct creations in the world, that is the physical dimension and the spiritual dimension. Within the spiritual dimension, there are two different divisions in the spiritual division, dimension, and one is angelic. The other is considered, both of them are spiritual, but one can be manifested and observed in the physical world. They're like projections. They can almost be like humans, appear to be like humans. And then there are those who are spiritual forces that are beings that are considered the forces behind the Word of God. And that means that they actually exist to make sure that all of creation functions at its highest level. We understood in this last text in chapter 4, it says this physical phenomenon originates among the highest of forces. And this idea that everything that is created to be balanced, that which is above in the spiritual and that which is in the physical. But if you compare the two, what is the real world? Is the real world the physical or the spiritual? The spiritual. That's the real world. We're just an illusion of the real world. Meaning that what you see in the physical world is in some way mirrored in the spiritual world. And I gave this explanation, but I'll make it a little bit clearer. In the physical world, if you want to understand something in the spiritual dimensions, then merely transpose the ideas that we have in the physical world, and you will understand that's how it exists in the spiritual. For example, just as there are presidents, vice presidents, governments, councils, prime ministers, parliaments, Congress, police, law enforcement, constables, you just go down through the whole thing, those exist in the spiritual world. Now, how does it exist in the spiritual world? We really don't know. But those same type of functions exist in the spiritual world. So, for example, HaSatan, who was created for one thing, as the prosecutor in the heavenly courts. HaSatan's job is when you appear in the heavenly court, he is to bring up all of the accusations against you. Now, and when that happens is only going to happen when you die and go to the heavenly court. That's why when someone sins today, there isn't some, you know, lightning bolt that comes from the sky and strikes you dead, because it's not time for the prosecutor to stand up. However, there are consequences to our sin, and we're going to talk about the consequences we do in the physical, how it deals and changes things in the spiritual realm. HaSatan accuses you to the council, and if you haven't done tshuva on something, then those charges will be open and exposed. If you've done tshuva, then he can't accuse you of something you've done tshuva on, because it doesn't exist anymore. So that's why it's important every night before we go to bed that we ask God to forgive us of our sins and to help to annul those things that we have done, and to repent, to change those ways, because HaSatan has nothing to bring up. And that's why Yom Kippur is important every year. We vex ourselves before God to make sure that our slate is clean. So if you die that year, HaSatan has nothing to bring up besides the couple of things that you may have done then. And then all the mitzvahs you've done in that time count for your blessings, going all the way back. That's amazing. Did you raise your hand about something?
Yeah. So essentially, you have like four religious things that decide for an intentional sin.
Right. Right, exactly. That's precise. So the question for the person that's going to watch is, what about the sacrifice for unintentional sin? That sacrifice for unintentional sin is precisely for that very reason. You don't know. Actually, our prayers that we do three times a day are like bringing the sacrifices for unintentional sin. That's why the prayers are done at the specific time that the priest offered up the offering to Hashem. Now, it's interesting, in the Talmud, it states that an individual that comes and brings a sacrifice, you know, today's cost of a premium sheep would be what, $300 or $400? I don't know how much they cost. but you would take time off of work. You would go to the temple. You'd bring the sheep. I mean, a lot of effort and money goes into bringing that sacrifice for unintentional sin. But it says if that guy is arrogant and haughty, it doesn't count for anything. He's just brought an animal and sacrificed it. It says that a person who is humble and does not count himself in any way elevated above another human being, that simply says a prayer during that time, has brought, as if they brought a sacrifice. Incredible idea. So it goes to show us how incredible our God is. In paragraph 5, it says, God arranges things so that every matter falling within the realm of man's free will should be able to affect the transcendental forces through this interministic influence according to the measure and degree set forth by God. This is true not only of man's deed, but also of his speech and thoughts. And it says, the amount of degree of this influence, however, cannot exceed the limits decreed and circumscribed by the highest wisdom. Now let's break this down. As we said, we point out in the last time that we talked, there are two major thrusts in the universe, and that is which is from above and that which is downward going up, and that both affect each other. This forces affect us. It helps to guide us. As a matter of fact, these forces are unique to human beings. These forces don't operate at the same level as they do on the rest of creation. With human beings, there is an individual direction or determination for that person. Their free will determines how that's going to be worked out. And then there is a force that deals with all human beings as a whole. Since we explained that to mean that there are times when the spiritual backdrop behind every physical, as known as transcendent forces, hold sway in the universe and affects us as well as everything else, and that there are times when we hold sway in the universe and affect everything, commonly when we willfully obey or defy God's bidding. So, how do we affect things in the world? We talk about this sort of butterfly effect. We don't understand, especially when it comes to mitzvahs, how we are affecting the universe. And you think, how? What does that matter? I mean, really, it's just this. It's just washing my hands before I eat bread. What's the big deal? It's not a big deal. The sages of blessed memory say that when a person washes their hands before they eat bread and says the bracha over the washing of hands, that you are cleansing yourself for wealth. You're cleansing yourself so Hashem can give you wealth. That's something I didn't realize. And I don't even understand that concept. That's why they say if you go some places where a guy needs a lot of money, he will pour the biggest bucket he can to wash his hands. So the idea is it cleanses you so it can bring blessing and abundance. I don't understand that. For example, we eat kosher, and we can talk about all of the, you know, medical reasons we eat clean food and all of the scientific evidence out there. But bottom line, something happens in the spiritual. It affects us. They talk about how a man's beard becomes like a tuning device for the wisdom of God. I don't understand that. I can't even begin to comprehend that. But somehow the things that we do in the physical affect the spiritual. When someone says, will you pray? For example, Rabbi Abraham says to pray, ask prayer for his mother. And all of our prayers seem to be working, he says, because she's actually had some turnaround and doing quite well. So what we do in the physical can affect the spiritual. Now, years ago in my previous religious belief systems, our prayers were more at attempting to change God's will on something. And now our prayers are, God, I want to do something to change my environment where I'm at. Change me, fix me on behalf of what needs to be done in this person's life. That's why when we do a lecture or a class and we do it in the name of someone, we're actually saying, Hashem, we're standing here today to study Torah, and we're going to study in the name of this individual, because we believe that through the study of Torah, we change things in the heavens. And if, by chance, we change something in the heavens, it causes this person to have good health and their life turn around, then so be it. But it's going to be because we've changed ourselves through the study of Torah. That's what this is about. Ironically, then, it can be said that we have a great and manifest power in the universe. We have the ability to change things through our prayers. How many has actually seen a miracle in your life? Seen a miracle. It's amazing. And we don't just throw that around, right? We know that it's absolutely a miracle how that happens. I was talking to someone the other day, and it seems that they're going through a particular test, and I think that they wanted a big bag of sympathy and compassion, and which I understand, I wasn't unsympathetic or lacks compassion, but I said, wow, this is an amazing time for you. Like, what do you mean? This is like the worst time for me. And I said, no, actually, this is actually the time that you're going to be proven that you truly trust God. Now, I mean, you're just going to be, it's going to be proven. Well, I do trust God. And I said, oh, I know you do. And I said, guess what? Now you get to prove it. And they're like, but it just drives me insane that this has happened this way. I have no control of anything. And I said, absolutely. That's the big revelation that we all have. Closer to Hashem, you don't have control of everything. The quicker we realize we don't have control of everything, the quicker things work out on our behalf. So I always say this now. I didn't say this in the past. We're going to look back on this, and it's going to be not a big deal, because God will bring us through it. We'll figure out how to do it. But our imagination illusions are often much bigger than what the real thing is, right?
Too many times, Robin, something like that does happen, because I should have done it sooner.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I should have just let this pass, and why did I get so upset about it? And now, some will probably accuse you of not, of being too, what's the word, naive? Like, you're being too naive, you're not worrying about this. And you realize there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, God's going to have to do something. I love Rav Dror's outlook on life. He says, I trust Hashem so much and love him so much that he can do whatever he wants with me. He can kill me, let me live, send me to hell, not send me to hell, destroy my life here, make it rich, make it wealthy. Doesn't matter. I trust Hashem, because he's going to do good for me. And whatever he does is going to be good. It's going to be good. So therefore, I trust him. So nobody can hurt me. Nobody can disappoint me, because all of my trust is in Hashem. I don't trust another human being. Why should we trust another human being? We trust Hashem alone. We're never disappointed by God. I can tell you, we'll never be disappointed by God. Now, let's see. I've got a couple more notes on this chapter. It says, God Almighty still rules everything utterly. Though we have power and the ability to change things, God still rules everything. So it comes ultimately to him. It's just that he uses various tangible and intangible things, ourselves included, to accomplish his ends in the physical world. Can we affect things in the physical world to the negative? Absolutely. So it says both, let's see, he says, this is true not only of man's deed, but even his speech and thoughts. And we talk about this on a regular basis about lashon hara, negative speech or evil speech. We know that it's wrong to speak evil against another person, say something negative about a person. But it's just as wrong to do that about yourself, to say something about yourself. To say something about yourself that you wouldn't say to another person is wrong. Why? Because you're affecting things in the spiritual realm. And you can affect things in such a way that you bring that negativity on you if you're not careful. I mean, you don't realize that you're doing it, but if after a while, it'll affect you. There's an old story that I remember my dad telling me, and it's a what do you call it, like a little moral story that teaches you something. He said this guy, a businessman traveling through Idaho, and huge farms rolling, you know, 8, 9, 10, 1,000 acres, 15,000 acres, huge farms. And he gets a flat tire. It's 11:30 at night, and he sees this farmhouse way back off the road. He's like, man, I don't have a jack. I don't know what to do. So he just starts walking, and he walks for probably an hour to get to this farm. And as he's walking, he goes, man, this guy is, I'm a stranger. I'm a city slicker. He's not going to have anything to do with me. Probably he'll sick his dogs on me when I get there. And even if I get there, he's not going to let me borrow his jack. It's going to be now like 2 in the morning. I mean, this guy's not going to let me have this jack. So he gets up, he knocks on the door, and the guy opens the door. Says, hey, can I help you? He goes, keep your old jack. I didn't want it anyway. You get it?
He's way ahead of himself.
He's way ahead of himself. He completely convinced himself that negativity is going to come out of it. So if there's ever a chance that we can be partners with Hashem, it's in bringing good things down for us. I believe that God wants to do good things for us. He's a good God. I mean, he's not a bad God. He's a good God. So if he is a good God and he wants to bring goodness down to us, then we have to start helping to create vessels for goodness to come into our life. What is creating these vessels? We talk about how we become sort of partners with God in the physical world. We hew out the vessel that is to be a vessel of goodness. Goodness cannot come into a vessel that is formed in evil. It doesn't happen. A vessel that is formed in ego does not contain goodness. A vessel that is formed with, help me out, what's some other words?
Pride,
very good one, is not capable of holding, because if you're full of pride, you don't have enough room to put goodness in there. You're full of yourself, absolutely. How do we change? We even have to go down to changing our thought process. We have to change how we think. And so some people have no idea how we think. God knows we wouldn't want people to be able to read our minds, right? It'd be a terrible thing. But our thinking has everything to do with what we're creating around us. So in some aspect, the spiritual realm, or that realm up there that contains all of this blessing for my life, wants to come down and do fantastic things in my life and guide me and give me wisdom, etc. But I must develop a vessel that it can reside in. And it's the only person that can form that vessel is us individually. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We're all responsible for ourselves. Having said this, it follows then that God has placed limits on the degree that he can affect the transcendent force, and that he is enabled certain of the things we do to affect them, and others not so much. And he gives an example here. It says, hence my... for example, a guy who takes the Shabbos cup on Shabbos and he fills it with wine and he drinks that on Shabbos, he is blessing and anointing the day with using that cup, and it becomes the Shabbos cup. Would you think for a second to use it for a cup of tea on Wednesday? No, not at all. And how we don't understand how this works. But if you were to do that, you begin to affect things in the spiritual realm that affects your home on Shabbos. I don't understand that. How does it affect things? How does it affect things when I declare that I will read a psalm on behalf of somebody who's ill? How does that change things? But God has given us that ability to do that. Now let's go to 6. It says, every deterministic influence, however, also results in deterministic influences. When the highest forces are influenced by man's free will, they will in turn influence the physical things that are inherently linked to them. All these processes, however, follow many detailed laws as a decree by the highest wisdom as being test of creation. Both the ways through which man's influences reach the highest force and the manner in which these forces react toward the physical world all depends on many factors. All this constitutes the deep mystery of how God's providence works and brings about everything that has and will be. We have talked about how the Word forms creation, that the Word forms creation. We've heard also that mitzvahs that are done in the physical world help to sustain creation. With that being said, what we're seeing is this influence that we have in the spiritual world to help maintain the physical world. Our thoughts, our deeds, our kind actions, or our evil intentions affect everything around us. I often wonder what happens and what will happen to this world. I kind of think we're seeing the effect of it. The world that we live in today seems to be more caustic than it used to be. You know, people just seem to be just more bitter and angry. We don't relate to people like we used to. We don't even talk to people like we used to. Now it's in, 45-word segments on a chat or a tweet or whatever you want to call it. We just don't relate to people like we used to. And because of that, we have been desensitized on how to relate to other people. And Facebook, especially Facebook, as positive as it is, has some very negative aspects. We all have seen those things. The negative things that we expose ourselves to on a regular basis. I wonder how that is affecting us spiritually and how is it affecting us as a society. Maybe that's the reason why that when something happens that statistically is a normal event in the life of every human being ends up being blown out of proportion, and now we have riots and people are burning police cars and burning down stores. All because this whole toxic environment is being created by our words, or by their words, not ours. Conversely, the words of peace and life that we give is very important. I made a personal commitment when I started getting on Facebook to, if I'm going to post something, it needs to be something that's going to help somebody or inform somebody. I'm not here to rant and rave. Believe me, I could rant and rave like anybody else, because I'll read something and I want to go bananas on it, and I'm about ready to post it or repost it, and I'll go, no, that's not going to help anybody. It's just going to cause somebody else to get annoyed and irritated, and then they're going to pass on the annoyance and irritation. At some level, I am bringing down negative forces. Why do we want to do that? We don't need to. We really do become partners with Hashem. The idea in chapter 6 says this: once we instigate a movement down below through our free will, and corresponding movement is instigated from above, up above, in response downward. So we have a free will, or at least the illusion of free will, to do something positive or do something negative. If we do something negative, that negative thing we do has an effect in the spiritual world that brings about negative result. It's just the law. It's the way it works. If you do something positive, we affect something in the world, the spiritual world, and it brings down positive results out of it. This is just the normal thing. It is important to know, though, that God has set certain specific appropriate mechanisms in place when it comes to these two interactions corresponding to God's seemingly arcane and overreaching plans and means of governance, both here and now and in the future. So this idea, it seems, that why would God set up a system to where we play such an important role? We play a very important role. If we would stop doing mitzvahs and praying today, what would happen to the world? God forbid, it would fall apart. So at some level, we become in such strong partnership with Him that it is important. Our lives are important. That's why I try to tell people who call, who feel alone and don't feel connected to any community, I tell them, you are absolutely the most important thing. God has you here on this earth for an important reason. Study. Become an expert in Torah. There's plenty of great resources. Begin to do mitzvahs. Do kind acts. Give to the poor. Speak positive things. Teach your children Psalms. Teach them the Shema. Do something that changes your world. And I don't even understand it, but God will do something to change the world around you and ultimately bring illumination to the world itself. So with that two paragraphs done, we'll go into seven next Wednesday, seven and eight next Wednesday. Any questions, comments?
Well, just about God's system. I mean, that